أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. Continuing with Ad-Durr al-Bahiyya by Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, also with Al-Adillat al-Radiyya by Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, we're still in Kitabu al-Salat, the book of Salat, and we come to Al-Babu al-Ashir, Babu Salat al-Jama'ah, Babu Salat al-Jumu'ah, the 10th chapter Salat al-Jumu'ah, and the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah. And I think we had covered in our last class, we read the whole entire statement of Imam al-Shawkani with the translation, and now we'll begin point by point inshallah with the explanation. As Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, تَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُكَلِّفٍ عَلَى كُلِّ مُكَلَّفٍ. He says Jumu'ah is compulsory on everyone who is responsible, and that is by the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse number 9, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you who believe, when you are called, when the call is made for salah on Yawmul Jumu'ah, hurry to the remembrance of Allah and leave off trade. That is better for you if you knew. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands everyone that's responsible to make the Salatul Jumu'ah, as we see in this ayah. And also as we see in this hadith of Imam Muslim. عن عبد الله بن مسعود أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لقوم يتخلفون عن الجمعة لقد هممت أن آمر رجلا يصلي بالناس ثم أحرق على رجال يتخلفون عن الجمعة بيوتهم. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to the people who remain behind from making Salatul Jumu'ah, I wanted to command a man to lead the people in Salat and then to go burn down the houses of the men who remain behind from making Salatul Jumu'ah. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he showed, and we're seeing both of the points being emphasized here, that those people are responsible from the people are the men, and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to burn their houses down, only showing that this was compulsory for them to do. And this hadith sounds similar to the hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he will burn down the houses of the people who didn't make salah in jama'ah. And that's another narration, and that's also authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think we had mentioned at that point that some of the people, they say that the other hadith referring to the jama'ah, it really means jumu'ah, just like this narration. However, the people of hadith have authentically narrated this narration and that narration on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and both of them must be worked by, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No, it's Salatul Jumu'ah. Salatul Jumu'ah and Salatul Jama'ah. No. And also, we see that Jumu'ah is compulsory on the people from the other hadith of Imam Muslim and Abdullah ibn Umar wa Abi Huraira, annahu ma sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqulu ala a'wadi minbarihi la yantahiyanna aqwamun an wadi'ihim al-jumu'at aw la yakhtimanna Allah ala qulubihim thumma la yakununna min al-ghafilin. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said while he was on the minbar, either the people would refrain from leaving off the Jumu'ah, or Allah would seal their hearts, and then they would be amongst the ghafilin, or they will be amongst the heedless, or those who don't pay attention to the verdicts of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he also mentions Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, he mentions that Ibn al-Mundhir, he says in his book Al-Ijma' that there is a consensus from the ulama that Jumu'ah is compulsory on every single Muslim. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, after that he says, إِلَّا الْمَرْأَةَ وَالْعَبْدَ وَالْمُسَافِرَ وَالْمَرِيضَ. He says, except for the lady and the slave and the one traveling and the sick person. Meaning Salatul Jumu'ah is compulsory on every single person except the lady, the slave, the traveler, and the sick person. And we see this in the hadith collected by Abu Dawood and others, and it's authentic. عن طارق بن شهاب عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الجمعة حق واجب على كل مسلم في جماعة إلا أربع عبد مملوك أو امرأة أو صبي أو مريض. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Jumu'ah is compulsory and a right on every Muslim in Jama'ah except four. And we have covered before, in Jama'ah means in the masjid in Jama'ah, except four: a slave, a lady, a child, and a sick person. As far as the traveler is concerned, Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, he says that if the traveler hears the adhan, then it is compulsory on him also to make the Jumu'ah. And we see this in the hadith collected by Abu Dawood, an Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala al Jumu'atu ala kulli man sami'a nida. And this hadith is authentic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jumu'ah is compulsory on everyone who hears the adhan. And the ulama, they use this hadith, as our shaykh here is using it, to show that the traveler has to make Jumu'ah if he's close enough to the masjid where he hears the adhan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he goes on to say, before I mention the next point, as we cover point by point, if there's any questions before we move on to the next point, inshallah, we'll take those questions at that time. And then if not, we can move on. Everything is clear up to this point, or is there something? وَهِيَ كَسَائِرُ الصَّلَوَاتِ لَا تُخَالِفُهَا إِلَّا فِي مَشْرُوعِيَّةِ الْخُطْبَتَيْنِ قَبْلَهَا. He says, rahimahullah, that Salatul Jumu'ah is just like the rest of the Salah. And there's no difference between the rest of the Salah and Jumu'ah, except that it has two khutbahs before it. And we see this in the hadith. Rather, the Shaykh, he begins to explain by saying that this statement of Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he shows that the Jumu'ah is like the rest of the Salat in many points. The two khutbahs before it, and then other points, and then the Shaykh is going to bring evidences to show those other points outside of the two khutbahs. As far as the issue of the two khutbahs, then we see in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, قَالَ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَخْطُبُ قَائِمًا ثُمَّ يَقْعُدُ ثُمَّ يَقُومُ كَمَا تَفْعَلُونَ الْآنَ. الله أكبر. Collected by Bukhari and Muslim. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give the khutbah while he was standing. And then he would sit down, and then he would stand again, just as you do now. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. I was just thinking when every time I read this hadith, mashallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the success. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he made a statement that is still true today, that the imam on Jumu'ah, he stands up and gives the khutbah and sits down and stands up and gives the khutbah. I'm saying that it's amazing, because so many things that used to be done by the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions aren't done anymore. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ, except for this, as we see, is still done even to today. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The khutbah is on the minbar. And we see this in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdillah radiallahu anhu, قال كان جذع يقوم إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما وضع له المنبر سمعنا للجذع مثل أصوات العشار حتى نزل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوضع يده عليه. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Where Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he says that there used to be the tree trunk that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand by when he gave the khutbah. And then when the minbar was placed for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they heard that tree, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lean next to, making a sound like the camels, kind of like a crying sound, until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his hand on the tree, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this hadith, it shows that the minbar, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give the khutbah on the minbar. And this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as opposed to what we see unfortunately in many of the masjids, even up until today, that the people are giving the khutbah at the podium instead of the minbar. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to give the khutbah on the minbar, and this is the way of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And now sometimes I see, even if the brothers transgress the bounds, that after some of the imams have been advised to leave off the podium and to use the minbar, the imams still continue to object or reject this position and to give the khutbah over the podium instead of the minbar. And the brothers, they transgress the bounds by calling them deviant as being mistaken in an issue or two or three or what have you doesn't necessarily make you deviant, until the people of knowledge deem that the person is in fact deviant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. But this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Bukhari is translated. People are reading it Why don't the imams, who are supposed to be more knowledgeable than the rest of the people in general, submit to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam? And if they don't submit to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, how do they expect the people to listen to them while they're giving the khutbah and to take what he's saying seriously if he doesn't bring it over the minbar as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam used to do? At any rate, this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the imams to getting on the minbar and leaving off the podiums. The khutbah should consist of some ayat from the Qur'an. And we see this in the hadith of Ya'la ibn Umayyah. Qala sami'tu rasula, sami'tu nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqra'u ala al-minbari wa nadaw ya malik. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu, he said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read over the minbar, and then he quoted this ayah from Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse number 77, where Allah says, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ يَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِفُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what that means. You can refer to a translation from Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse number 77. At any rate, the Shaykh is using this hadith to show that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to read ayat for the khutbah. And subhanAllah, sometimes when we read these statements of the shuyukh, it's almost as if they know our condition, and then they're teaching us what's correct from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he's from Yemen, as we covered in the beginning. And also Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, he's also there in Yemen. And why would he just bring out this point? As we said, we're covering the fiqh in brief. Why does he bring out the point that you recite ayat from the Quran for Jumu'ah? It was as if he knows that some of the imams are reading the newspapers over the minbars to the people, and that what is more proper for them is to read the book of Allah, the Quran, over the minbar to the people, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam used to read ayah from the Quran over the minbar. Rather, some of the people are reading some of these phony fatwas over the minbar. As I heard one of the imams, he got a fatwa from Isna making riba halal, and he took it over the minbar and he read it. See, even the people from the east say that riba is okay. How can somebody read over the minbar after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ayah and his Quran pertaining to riba, and you read over the minbar the verdict, the phony verdict from some group that makes permissible that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram? Whoever follows the people and what they make as halal that Allah has made haram, or that they follow the people when they make something haram that Allah has made halal, then that is the worship of those people. If you follow someone in opposition to the sunnah or to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam knowingly, then that's your worship of that person or those people. And this was the case with the Jews and the Christians. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading this ayah from Surah At-Tawbah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه. Subhanahu amma yushrikun. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, they have taken their priests and rabbis or monks as lords besides Allah, and they've also taken Al-Masih ibn Maryam as a lord besides Allah. And they were only commanded to worship one God. No God has the right to be worshipped other than Him. Allah is high above what they commit shirk to Him with. Or Subhanahu amma yushrikun. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as it comes in some of the narrations, when he was reading this ayah, Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, who used to be a Christian, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we never used to worship them. As he understood clearly what this ayah means, when they take them lords besides Allah, meaning that they worship them by whatever they said they did. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah made something halal and they made it haram, would you make it haram? And they said yes. He said yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if Allah made it haram and they made it halal, would you make it halal? And he said yes. And he said, that's the worship of them. And this is the Muslims, the Imam himself, worshipping someone else after the ayat is clearly known to the believers. And then whoever follows them in it are worshipping the people who tell them to do that which is opposite to the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while they know. As sometimes we could be mistaken in following someone while we don't know. But if you know, then that becomes the worship of them. I also wanted to point out a point in this ayah as it was mentioned to us just the other day. We were in the 7-Eleven and the man's name was Aziz. So the brothers gave him the salams, and I said, he Muslim? They said, his name is Aziz, and he looks like he's from the East. And a Muslim looks like a Muslim. Not that he got a look from the East. Muslims are from everywhere. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this was even during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that the deen had spread even outside of the Arabian Peninsula, as we know the story of Najashi and those that were with them there that embraced this deen of Al-Islam. So how do the Muslims have a certain nationality type of look that you say, yeah, that's a Muslim? Maybe they thought because his name was Aziz that he was a Muslim. At any rate, the man said, I'm Pakistani and I'm Christian. And many of the Christians, they have this name, Aziz. Amongst the Arabs, particular Christians, they have this name, Aziz, from amongst their names. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The one who was with him, who the brothers didn't give the salams to, was the Muslim. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And his name was Muhammad. And I said, Muhammad, is your partner here working with you at the store really a mushrik? And he said, no, don't call him a mushrik, because he's from Ahlul Kitab. And a mushrik is the ones who commit shirk. And the people think that the Jews and the Christians aren't mushriks and kafirs, but they're both kafirs and mushriks. If you're a Christian, you're a kafir and you're a mushrik. You're a mushrik because of this ayah we just read. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Allah is free from the shirk they attribute to Him. Alright, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is He talking about when He says Allah is above the shirk that they ascribe to Him? Who is Allah referring to in this ayah other than the Jews and the Christians who have taken their priests and monks as lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the ulama, they use this ayah to show that the Christians and the Jews are mushriks, or as the people say, polytheists. Also, the Jews and the Christians are kafirs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it clear, لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. From Surah Ma'idah, verse number 72, where Allah says, indeed, there are kafirs, those who say, indeed, Allah is Al-Masih ibn Maryam. And then the next verse, لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثًا. Allah, he says, indeed they are kafirs, those who say, indeed Allah is the third of three. And this is as, this shows that the Christians, they are kafirs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, and mushriks, and there's no difference between a mushrik and a kafir. There's three types of people, a Muslim, a munafiq, and then you have a mushrik or a kafir. Those are three groups. You're either in one of those three groups, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us die in the group of the Muslims. But a kafir is a mushrik, and a mushrik is a kafir, and everybody that's not Muslim is a mushrik and a kafir, unless he's a munafiq, who's the one who says he's Muslim on his tongue, but really he disbelieves in al-Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. At any rate, this shows that this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read the Quran over the minbar alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Shaykh, he mentions as advice that whoever wants to know more about the Jumu'ah and the khutbah of the Jumu'ah and the characteristics of the khatib on Jumu'ah and other verdicts pertaining to Jumu'ah, to refer to a book that hasn't been translated, and we can say to refer to the book by Jamal al-Din al-Zarboza written on Salatul Jumu'ah, that's now three volumes, I think, that we can refer back to this book inshallah ta'ala for some more details on the Jumu'ah. Now, the book in Arabic is Al-Fawa'idul Mujtami'atu li Khatib al-Jumu'ah. And he didn't mention who was the author of... Oh yes, and he's the author of that book, Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq. Al-Fawa'idul Mujtami'atu li Khatib al-Jumu'ah. And I didn't find that book. And the last time when we were in Hajj, all of the bookstores I went to, I asked if they had the books of Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, that we want all of his books, and they weren't available. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. At any rate, this was the statement that Jumu'ah is like the rest of the Salah, except that it has a khutbah, and then the other points that we know from Jumu'ah is mentioned in these authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa waqtuha waqtu dhuhri. And the time of Jumu'ah is the same time as Dhuhr. From the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim an Salama, Tabni al-Aqwa' radiallahu anhu qala, kunna nusalli ma'an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Jumu'ata, thumma nansarifu wa laysa lil-haytani dhillun nastadhillu fi. Salama ibn al-Aqwa' radiallahu anhu, he said that we used to make Salatul Jumu'ah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when we used to leave, that there was no shade to benefit from the walls. And this is showing that this is the time of Dhuhr, where the sun starts to decline from its zenith, so from the highest point in the sky. So there, this is the time when there's basically no shade if you're standing by a wall or something, because the sun isn't leaning enough to one side or the other, so that it makes the objects have a big shadow in order to get shade from. This time the shadows are small on each object because the sun has just declined from its zenith. And the Shaykh is using this, as the ulama use this hadith, just to show that the Jumu'ah is at the time of Dhuhr. And this point in particular, before any questions come, is it permissible to make Salatul Jumu'ah before Salatul Dhuhr? Yes, and there are other hadith for it, and we can refer to the book by Jamal al-Din al-Zarbozo for those hadith, inshallah ta'ala. وَعَلَى مَنْ حَضَرَهَا أَلَّا يَتَخَطَّى رِقَابَ النَّاسِ. And it's for the person who attends the Jumu'ah that he doesn't step over top of the people. It's like the lions are there, and then he's coming in from the back, and then he's stepping over everybody trying to get closer. And this is from the hadith of Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, an Abdullah ibn Busr qala, kuntu jalisan ila janbayhi, ila janibihi,
يوم الجمعة فقال جاء رجل يتخطى رقاب الناس فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي اجلس فقد آذيته. And this hadith is authentic, where Abdullah ibn Busr radiallahu anhu, he said that I was sitting to the side of a person on Yawm al-Jumu'ah when a man came up and he was stepping over the people, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, which means, sit down, you have harmed the people, or you have done enough harm or something to that effect, to show that it's not permissible for the people to step over the people on the day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah. But if you come in late, then you get the spot that you get for coming in late. And if you come early, then you get the spot that you get for coming in early. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَأَنْ يُنْصِتَ حَالَ الْخُطْبَتَيْنِ And to be quiet during the time of the two khutbas. And this is from the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قلت لصاحبك يوم الجمعة أنصت والإمام يخطب فقد لغوت. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you say to your partner on Yawmul Jumu'ah, be quiet, and the Imam is giving the khutbah, then you have blown your Jumu'ah. Or faqal laghawta. And this shows that the person has to be, that the people have to be quiet during the time of the khutbah. And I remember I was in the masjid one time for the khutbah, the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the brothers was just talking to me. And then after the Jumu'ah, he says, Subhanallah al-Azim, akhi, I'm talking to you, don't pay no attention to me. And I said, you don't know that we're supposed to be quiet during the khutbah? He said, no. And hopefully there's no more Muslims left, inshallah, here, except that they know that they shouldn't speak during the time of the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And these are some of the points, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that when the new shahadas accept Islam and they come to the masjid, that these type of etiquettes are the etiquettes that we teach them, instead of, unfortunately, what we see so often. And I think pretty soon some of the people are going to be exposed, that when a new shahada comes to the masjid, the people of disobedience and failure, they love to wing off the new shahadas. And we see it oftentimes when someone accepts this deen and he comes to the masjid and then he's getting on the sunnah, and then the people of failure and disobedience to organization and leadership, they wing these people off, and then you see somebody who was down with this deen become a loser, just like the people who wung him off. As I remember, one year was a brother, I forgot that brother's name, I don't even know if he's still around, named Hazim. Allahu Akbar. Brother came and fired up on this deen. Take it easy, akhi. This is the haq. And then the brothers, they wing them off. Next thing you know, you see them on the av, acting like a fool. Wala hawla wala quwata illa billah. And then when the people try to go and call him back to Islam, he's looking at you like you're crazy. Ya akhi, come to the masjid. And he's looking at you like you're a fool, because those people have wung him off. And really, a lot of us, we see it taking place and we know it's taking place. And really, we have to use some tact and some wisdom or some strength to let the people know, listen, stay away from so-and-so. He's not, you know, not to say anything bad about the Muslim, but listen, you want to be around the other people. You know, everybody Muslim isn't straight. Some Muslims trying to practice Islam, and some Muslims ain't trying to practice Islam. And really, that's just how it is. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Some Muslims trying to practice Islam, and some Muslims aren't. And we hope that the people who accept Islam, that they accepted Islam because they wanted to leave Jahiliyyah, and we shouldn't let the people bring them back to Jahiliyyah. as the brothers were just mentioning this morning, we had to say, Wallah, y'all have to fear Allah when y'all make this statement. In some of the Muslim buildings, that's correct to say, in some of the buildings where the Muslims live, some of the brothers say, Wallahi, if you sit in front of the door of Muslim so-and-so who goes to Masjid of Deviance, you could get high right at his door by just sitting in front of it. We say, Akhi, taqillah. Akhi, don't talk about the Muslims like that. We understand that everybody is on a different level, but ain't no Muslims on that level. Wallahi, come sit at the door. And the brother said, and we hope inshallah that it doesn't happen, said that this past Jumu'ah, when we were away, that some people were driving up to the car, and everything was happening in the car but smoke. Music pumping loud, brothers in there real deep, and pulling up to the parking lot for the masjid. To the masjid for the khutbah on Yom Jumu'ah, and everybody was laughing, saying, yeah, it used to be like that, where the Muslims get hi, and then come to listen to the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. At any rate, Muslims are on all types of levels, and some of them are as far as that. And usually those type of Muslims gravitate to a masjid that will tolerate that type of foolishness. Blasting music, still getting high, fornicating and hanging out with the women and what have you, partying, and they usually go to a masjid that allows them to be like that. But however, there are some people that are innocent, inshallah ta'ala, who want what's correct, and then the people wing them off as they're trying to fast and stuff like that, and then the people come and say, you don't have to fast. He says, I ain't say I had to fast. The brothers told me I get more blessings if I fast. That's what I'm trying to do. Listen, akhi, don't burden yourself. And then they keep going down the line on everything that the new shahada does. They keep telling him he doesn't have to do it. And really he should have responded as we respond to those people try to wing us off. We ain't have to do none of it. We chose it. We submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah when we accepted Islam. And we ain't have to do none of it that we're doing, but we want to do it. And while Muslims telling a Muslim, why are you doing that, when he's doing a practice of al-Islam? And then when the Muslims are dancing and singing and partying and hanging out, nobody's telling them, why are you doing what you're doing? Wallahi, what Muslims went up to the door of those Muslims smoking, and they know they be getting high because they be coming to their messages high? And really, people have even tried it here. Coming to the masjid, we have to say, akhi, listen, go take a shower and then come back. Astaghfirullah, Muslim. Yeah, I know, but this is not that type of masjid where you're just going to come in, do whatever you like against Islam, and nobody's going to say anything except, you know, we all Muslim and anybody could do whatever they want to do. But at the other masjids, they let it okay to do everything that you want to do except the sunnah. Somebody comes into their masjid practicing the sunnah, then they got something to say. Brother, why you got a thobe on? Brother, why are your pants up so high? Sister, what you got that? What's your face covered for? Wallahi, when the people come in high, you ain't got nothing to say. Then when the people practice Islam, they have so much to say. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And we see this all the time, that the attacks are on the people of the sunnah. Why y'all practicing the sunnah? And for everybody practicing jahiliyyah, nobody has nothing to say. Nothing. Brother come in, his face is clean shaven. Nobody says, akhi, your Lord has commanded you to grow your beard. Nobody tells him. And if somebody tells him, they say, why are you offending the brother? Yahi, why are you offending him? You don't know what his circumstances are. Now we don't know what his circumstances are. But it's obvious that he's unaware of the verdict of Allah and His Messenger, and this deen is sincere advice, and he's being advised to be obedient to his Lord and His Messenger, and then there's a big fight. You should have gave the brother more time. You should have become a little more friendly with the brother. You should have people high in the masjid. Ain't nobody saying nothing. And everything is okay. Really, the situation is backwards. What is sunnah has become bid'ah, and what is bid'ah has become sunnah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who practice Islam and call to it. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, وَنُّدِبَ لَهُ التَّبْكِيرُ, and it's recommended that they come early to the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And this is from the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, man iqtasala yawm al-jumu'ati ghusla al-janaba thumma raha faka'annama qarraba badana, wa man raha fi sa'at al-thaniya faka'annama qarraba baqara, wa man raha fi sa'at al-thalitha faka'annama qarraba kabshan aqran, ومن راح في الساعة الرابعة فكأنما قرب دجاجة, ومن راح في الساعة الخامسة فكأنما قرب بيضة, فإذا خرج الإمام حضرت الملائكة يستمعون الذكر. Now this hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever makes a ghusl on يوم الجمعة, just like the ghusl he makes when he's in the state of janaba, then he goes to the masjid, it is as if he has slaughtered a camel. And whoever goes in the second hour, it is as if he has slaughtered a cow. Meaning he slaughtered it and used it for sadaqah for the believers. And whoever went in the third hour, it's as if he has slaughtered a sheep. And whoever with horns on it. And whoever goes to the masjid for the fourth hour, it's like he slaughtered a dajaja, or gave a chicken in sadaqah. And whoever went during the fifth hour, it was as if he gave an egg in charity. And when the imam comes out, the angels are present listening to the remembrance. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages the believers to come to the masjid early. And the earlier you come, the more reward you get when you come to the khutbah. There was a point from this hadith that one of our shaykhs, Hamad al-Ansari, hafadhullah, he used to say that the time that we have now was not the original time of the Muslims. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu was salam, he had said, And in some of the narrations, you see that the imam comes out on the sixth hour, and he was showing that there were 6 hours between Fajr and Jumu'ah, and now we see that the time is more than 6 hours. At any rate, the sheikh has said that he had wrote a book on the time, what was the hour during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and how the Muslims used to keep different time than the time we keep, and we never got our hands on that book, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But I was just thinking when I read this, remembering the statement of the Sheikh, that some of the things that we take for granted and we don't even know better, that you just figure that this is time and that's that. And even sometimes I don't remember if the Sheikh said this, but we mention it every time the clock goes back and it goes up, that this doesn't affect our salat times. And that whether you have a watch or not, you can figure out what time of salat is salat. As Fajr comes at the break of dawn, and then Dhuhr at the time that the sun declines from its zenith, and Asr is at the time when the shadows of the objects are equal to themselves, and Maghrib is at sunset. And Isha is at the time that the sky is completely black after sunset. And these are the times of Salat. And no matter what time you put your watch up to or back to or whatever, that the time of Salat is the time of Salat. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And the putting up of the time and back of the time has nothing to do with our Salat times. Walhamdulillah. As somebody said, we're following the ways of the Kufar when we put the Salat up or back. And we told the brother that we don't move the salat times according to the times that the kafirs move their watches up. The salat time remains the same, though you moved it. And I remember we were explaining that if Salatul Dhuhr comes in at 1 o'clock, say for example, and back it comes in at 12 o'clock, I told him, just don't set your watch back an hour, and you'll see that it's the same time as it was yesterday. So when you say it's 12, you say you moved the Salat back from 1 to 12. We told him, don't change your watch back, and you'll see at hour 12 o'clock, your watch will say 1 o'clock, and it's the same Dhuhr that it was yesterday. As Dhuhr, alhamdulillah, is according to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not by this time. And this was just a point that we remember, as sometimes in America we think that this is the only way things are. We think that everything is like America. And I'll end with this last point, as there were some Christians who we met overseas who, before Islam, had married more than one wife. And we said, how could you be a Christian and marry more than one wife? And they didn't understand what we were trying to say. At any rate, the brothers never understood. And these were some brothers from Angola. They said they don't understand what we're trying to talk about. At any rate, I used to be a Christian and I had two wives. We had a marriage ceremony for both of them, and everybody know that's my wife and that's my wife. And here the Christians, they think because America has made the law, they think that it's Christianity and that all of the Christians are on what they on. But everything ain't like it is in America, just as we remember on the issue of Ramadan, where everybody is saying Ramadan Mubarak and Ramadan Kareem. And then some brothers not saying it, and the people fighting against us. Why you not saying Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak? Talking about nobody else saying it either. You're the only Muslims in the world saying Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, and you acting like it's Islam, and it's said everywhere. So some things take place here, and other things are happening in the world. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Naam. Yeah, that's on one of the narrations, and it's still implied in this that when the imam comes out, that the angels listen to the khutbah. And some of the narrations that they close the book and no more good is recorded for the people after the imam begins the khutbah. There are other narrations that mention once the imam begins, then that's it for getting the extra virtuous deeds for coming early to the khutbah. No.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to ask you if you're talking about the sciences or the Salah, because I used to remember we have some old ladies and old men back home. When the wind blows, they can tell that this is Zuhur, and it's out for Zuhur, without having any watch or time or whatever. And I just want to ask you what you're saying, that it's not that there's all part of the work to use
this time, to use the Salah. Come on. Let's ask this too. Do they put the time up and back? They don't put the time up and back. It just remained the same all year. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. It's a lot. The brother was just saying that in Ghana that they don't put the time up and back according to the seasons. And same thing, we're in Arabia. They didn't put the time up and back. It just remained the same all year round, not the way they do it here, that the time goes up and the time goes back. Because sometimes we just think that this is the only way things are supposed to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is why many of the people are led astray, as they think that Islam is for another country. And then when the truth comes to them and they listen to it and they say, yeah, I know it sounds like the truth, but I'm American. Okay, you can go to the hellfire just like the next person for not accepting the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. But this is how we become closed-minded to the truth because of not being exposed
to the outer world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Like the question that comes often, can you marry your first cousin? And we say, yes, you can marry your first cousin. And people say, you mean, listen, my father's brother's daughter, I can marry. My cousin. Yeah, you can marry her. There's nothing. No, akhi, that ain't right. Alright, you ask them this. Can you have fornication with that girl right there and have a baby and everything be alright without being married? Say, yeah. Alright, why are we going to make what we find in this society, everything of it is right, and then when Islam comes, it's wrong? And we're going to question Islam because of what we were raised on here, that this is the only thing that's right. Islam is right, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran. Like many of the kuffar, they ask us, how can you marry two women? Wallahi, y'all was out having babies, illegitimate, and everything was okay and wasn't no problem with it. When somebody had how many girlfriends he had in Jahiliyyah, it was okay. Rather, everybody bragged. Depending on the more girls you had, the more you bragged to the other people around you. And even the people who are married, they brag about how many affairs they have and what have you. And everything is okay until you accept Islam and say, I married two women and now I'm forced to treat them equally when it comes to the relationship of giving them equal time and to spend my wealth on them proportionately. The people have a problem with that. And some of the Muslims, they still have a problem with Islam because of their understanding from Jahiliyyah in America. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And this is what we wanted to present. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Alhamdulillah.